Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Canaan, more than you bargained for. If I can draw your attention to the verses we just finished reading. It says, by faith Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in foreign country, lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. I must confess that when the Lord sent Canaan to me around this time, 2018, when God said Canaan to me at the end of 2018, before we stepped into this year, when God said Canaan to me, so this particular passage in Hebrews chapter 11 is the main one that came to mind. It was the main scripture that I thought the most about. I thought about the idea that I was looking forward to a city with foundations whose builder and maker was God. If you were here throughout the year, particularly in the beginning, you'll remember that I said that I wanted Canaan to not just be something that we focused on spiritually. Sometimes we take the spiritual meaning and the spiritual ramifications of the passage and don't apply it in the actual physical way. That when the Lord spoke Canaan early on, he spoke it as a land, and that there was actually physical movement that went along with that word. Canaan wasn't just something spiritual. Canaan was something physical. The beginning of the year, we started basically talking about the fact that we declared it and we decreed it, that you would go for more in the year of Canaan. That you wouldn't just take a move and make a move spiritually, but that you believe God for property and believe God for land and believe God for your own businesses, and that you would have courage and you'd have faith. We asked the question, what's the point of a great big God without a great big expectation for you to go to another level in him? Not just another level in him in church, but for your life to reflect the glory of God. For us to, in spite of what may have happened to us, to look forward to a city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. To look forward to an actual physical manifestation of the power of God. When I thought of Canaan, the main way I thought of it was as a promise. Thought about the promise of Canaan. I thought about it being a promised land. And when I thought promise, I thought blessing. When I thought promise, I thought amazing. When I thought promise, I thought, oh my God. When I spoke Canaan, I said, God, you about to move in a way over us like never before. And God, make ways for us and open doors for us and favor on us. And I proclaimed it and I declared it. And I spoke it over me. I spoke it over you. And I know for many of us, this year of Canaan has been a year in which God has moved in a mighty way. Can I get a witness in the building? Things have happened. Doors have opened. God has made waves for us. I've gotten the testimonies. It was the main thing that I thought of. But as I've come down to the end of 2019, I've also come to the very real conclusion that Canaan has not just been a place of blessing, but Canaan has been a place of challenge. Canaan had just been a wonderful thing. Canaan has also been a challenging thing, a tough thing, a hard thing. I've come to the realization that the place of blessing will be a place of challenge. That there is no blessing without some challenge connected to it. There is no blessing without a burden attached to it. There is no growth without some pain. There is no better without some challenge connected to it. You don't get to more without some things hurting. Come to the understanding that the promise of Canaan is not just a promise of everything being amazing. That as much as I've experienced some really awesome, incredible things this year. But I have to admit, as I stand here on the last Sunday of the year, I'm just glad I made it. There's some stuff that I'm like, Lord, I am glad I survived that. I wish I had. I'm realizing that when God said Canaan to me, he made me a promise, not just a blessing. He also made me a promise that he would see me through a tough place, see me through a dark place. I've come to the understanding that Canaan is a place of challenge, even for Abraham. Even Abraham's Canaan was a challenge. Even Abraham's Canaan was a place that he survived. When we look at this particular passage in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. And so just Abraham's Canaan, I'll just give you a couple of thoughts. Abraham's Canaan, number one, was an unknown land. Abraham's Canaan was a place that he did not know where he was going. Abraham's Canaan was a place that was unknown to him. Abraham's Canaan was a place where he had to walk by what he believed more than by what he saw. Abraham's Canaan was a place where he had to be all right with not being exactly sure of what would happen next. He didn't necessarily have all of the explanation. I've come to the understanding that a part of walking with God and a part of walking in blessing is I have to be ready for the unknown. I have to be ready with the thing that I may not have seen before or known before. Even for Abraham, his Canaan was a challenge. Number one, it was an unknown land. Number two, it was an uncomfortable land. It was an uncomfortable land. It said he lived like a stranger in tents in a foreign country. So did Isaac. So did Jacob. That just because you're in Canaan doesn't mean it's always going to be comfortable. Who am I talking to? Just because you're walking in a promised land doesn't mean that you always gonna be comfortable. There are gonna be some serious moments in which you are extremely uncomfortable, even in the promised land. Found that out in 2019. I found out in 2019 that I could be uncomfortable and still have favor. Found out that I could be uncomfortable and still be in blessing. I found out that I could be in a difficult place, an unknown place, an uncomfortable situation. I found out that I could feel like a stranger and still be in the middle of the will of God. I found out that just because I have followed obediently and stepped into a new place does not mean that I'm always going to be comfortable. For Abraham, the promised land, Canaan, was a land that brought division. It's a land that brought division. that Abraham, his name Abram at the time, and his nephew Lot ended up dividing as a result of the blessing of the land. They started to be so blessed that the blessing caused them to not be connected any longer. That the blessing was so much that they were both being so blessed that they had to part company. I found out that just because you're blessed don't mean you keep everybody that was with you when you got blessed. I found out that division could come in your time of Canaan. I wish I had a witness. I found out that folk who you thought you were close to, you ended up not being as close as you thought you were, and it wasn't for anything but just because of how blessed it was. That the place of blessing can be also a place that shows you who really is with you. You find out who's really on your side. You find out who really loves you when you get blessed. And you may end up getting your feelings hurt a little bit because there are folk who you thought loved you and you found out when the blessing happened that they really didn't love you the way you thought that they did. Even for Abraham, Canaan was a place of division. For Isaac and Jacob, it was a place of division. Jacob and Esau ended up splitting off from one another in the promised land. That the Canaan land is also a challenging place. That Abraham's Canaan was a land of droughts and famines. That even in obedience, there are times when it seems like it ain't gonna rain again. Even in obedience, you can go through periods where you're like, Lord, are you here? Lord, are you with me? Lord, are you talking to me? That God can set you on a course and then seem to abandon you. The heavens can be shut up. And you could wonder, when was the last time you heard from God? You can be in the promised land and stuff not go so great. You can be in the promised land and not have all the money you thought you was gonna have. You can be in the promised land and there be such drought that the drought and the famine drives you to desire to go back to Egypt. Just because you are set free from sin doesn't mean that being in the kingdom at times won't be tougher. I wish I had a witness in the building. I wish I could tell you, give your life to Jesus and everything's going to be easy. But the truth of the matter is that there are some things being saved that are harder than being in the world. And the joy of sin lasts a season, but there are challenges to walking in this Canaan land. And there are times when I've been walking in this Canaan land and I wondered if it was ever going to rain again. Abraham's Canaan was a place of drought and famine. Abraham had to leave because of the drought and the famine. It was a tough place. It was a promised place, but it was a tough place. It was a challenging place. It was a place of jealousy and betrayal. Abraham's Canaan was a place of jealousy and betrayal, that the people that were there already got jealous because the Lord can't bless you and everybody be happy about it. And when you start to really walk in the promises of God, there's going to be somebody that's there already. For every one of us that is believing for God to make a way for us and put us over and give us the promotion and give us the new thing and give us our own business and give us our own clients, we have to keep in mind that the clients you want belong to somebody else right now. The position you want belongs to somebody else right now. And even though they may not be qualified and you are, it doesn't mean that they don't feel personal about themselves. Nobody unqualified in their position goes and tells the people that they're unqualified to be there. That when the Lord promised them Canaan, he promised them a land where somebody else was already on it. Because it wouldn't be a blessing if somebody else didn't already want it. You're actually asking God to bless you with something that there's some competition over. There's some competition over the land. There was some bidding. There was some challenges. There was some folk that spoke negative because they wanted it and you not to get it. I wonder who I'm preaching to this morning. I didn't realize that when God said Canaan, that these were going to be some of the things that I was going to deal with. Even in Abraham's Canaan, you've got Lot and him splitting. You've got Jacob and Esau. You've got Jacob and Esau and Jacob tricking Isaac to get the blessing and the promise, and Jacob getting the stew, using the stew to get to Esau. Birthright, there's tension in Canaan. And that tension happens as a result of other people that are there. That tension happens in family. Help us, Holy Ghost. That Joseph's brothers threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. That is jealousy. They were jealous because he was the favorite. For all of us that want favor, had want to be the favorite of God, we have to be prepared for the fact that everybody ain't gonna like the fact that you got favor on you. Everybody's not gonna be glad about the fact that God is blessing you. Everybody's not gonna be happy about that. You can't ask for one and not get the other. I've learned that. I think I've always seen it, but I learned it in 2019 that Canaan was a place of jealousy, that Canaan is a place of battle and victory, but it was bloody. And I don't know if I really fully understood the fact that Canaan was going to mean there's going to be some battles. There's going to be some attacks. There's going to be some rescue missions. There's going to be some strife. There's going to be some swords. There's going to be some battle. Am I talking to anybody in here this morning? I know I'm not the only one who came to the understanding that Canaan was more than I bargained for. Oh, I wanted all the blessing, but I don't know if I was quite as prepared as I should have been for the challenge. I came to get somebody prepared for the challenge. I came to tell somebody you got to get ready, because when somebody says get ready, God's about to bless you, then you need to sharpen your sword and you need to make sure you got your armor on, because right along with that blessing is going to be a fight. I think that a part of what I saw as evil was more of me not being prepared for it. Because if you had been prepared, then you might not have taken it so hard. But because you were in denial, good God, I'm talking to myself. Because you were in denial when the blow came, it actually really hurt you. That even death is a part of life. It's not that she didn't live a long life. It's just that you weren't ready for her to go yet. If you had been better prepared, the death that is shocking to us hurts us more than very often than if someone had been sick for a while. We're surprised when someone has a heart attack and dies. If they had cancer or some sickness that took them out, we had a bit of a time to prepare for it. And so the surprising death comes off as more evil because there's a lack of preparedness. And I came out of 2019 mad at myself for not having my eyes open to what really could happen when I asked God to bless me. I wish I had a witness. I left 2019 saying, Lord, I should have known better than to think that you were going to bless me in an amazing way and everybody was going to like it. I should have been ready for the fact that there was going to be an attack that went along with the blessing. When I think about Canaan, beloved, I really don't know if I'm going to be. I know Canaan was the theme for 2019. I really don't know if it's going to ever stop being the theme until we get out of this building. I don't want to tell y'all not to come on Tuesday night. Certainly come Tuesday night, New Year's Eve. We got an amazing thing, and we have another theme for you, and we're going to throw it up everywhere. But until we get out of this building, until we have our own space, I need a witness in the building. Until we finish this three-year journey, Canaan is something we're going to be talking about. Because we have Abraham's promise of Canaan, and then we've got Joshua's promise. Here we are, 400 years later, after 400 years of slavery, now Joshua is back to reclaim Canaan, and I thought that Canaan was only a place of strife for Joshua, but the fact of the matter is that it was a place of challenge for Abraham. It was a place of challenge for Joshua. It's a place of challenge now. Because there is no blessing without difficulty. There is no blessing without challenge. As a matter of fact, if there's no challenge, I don't know if I trust it. Help us, Holy Ghost. I'm at a point right now where if it's too easy, I don't really think it's all that worth that much. If it's too simple, if it's free, I want to know what's the catch. You're going to have to tell me what the price is, because I realize that don't nobody give nothing good away for free. And when I look at Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, I want to speak this Joshua word over us, and I want to speak a Joshua anointing over us, because we still have territory to take. I speak it over this door. I speak it over every wall. We still have territory to take. Not only do we have territory to take as a church, but you have territory to take as an individual person. You have territory to take as a family. You have territory to take as a business leader. Who am I talking? You have territory to take, and you need this Joshua anointing on you. When I look at Joshua chapter 1, I see a Joshua call, a Joshua anointing, a power of Joshua that I'm going to speak real quick, running out of time. But this Joshua anointing, I speak it over us as we've anointed these young men this morning, one of them named Joshua. May the anointing of Joshua in the Bible, may that anointing rest on us this morning in the name of Jesus. Joshua's power, Joshua's anointing, it's Joshua's Canaan. And you see it, and I see just a few of them, and I'll throw them on the screens for you. And the first thing that we see in Joshua's anointing and Joshua's Canaan and his anointing is the power to move on. The power to move on. The passage opens with the Lord saying to him, "Moses, my servant is dead." Sometimes it's dead. Sometimes it's done. Sometimes it's in the past. Sometimes a part of the challenge of us, especially as we get a little age on us, is we remember our pains better than we remember our blessings. And we want to walk around and carry hurts with us into the new year. Can I speak something over you this morning? Let's leave 2019 and 2019. I'm in a robe today. Let's have a funeral over whatever happened to you last year. Let's throw some dirt over that and let Moses be dead then. Sometimes we just have to know how to let it go and not keep bringing it up and not telling anybody about it anymore. I declare and decree that we are not going to tell that story no more. We are not going to tell that hurt no more. We are not going to rehash. Let's leave 2019 and 2019. And let's just let Moses be dead then. Even if it led us in a good way, still, it is time for us to let the dead bury the dead and have power to move on to the next thing God is doing. I need a witness in the building. During my little holiday season, I was watching this old Tarzan movie. I don't know if you ever saw it, but it's called Legend of Greystoke. Anyway, old movie for all the old people. But a part of what happens in the movie, if you ever see it, is that Tarzan's mother, who is his ape mother, comes in. She's got a dead ape baby that she's got in her hand, and Tarzan is crying as a baby in the cabin. She's been carrying this dead baby, and now here's a crying living baby. The crying living baby doesn't look anything like the dead baby, and it's something that she can't recognize. It's a sound she's never heard before, and before she can pick up the new baby, she has to drop the first baby. And there's a minute there where she dropped the dead baby and left it there and picked up this living thing that was strange to her. And I thought to myself, my God, I've got to drop that dead thing I'm carrying so that I can go ahead and get on. I wish I had a witness. I got to drop that dead thing I'm carrying. I got to let the dead be the dead. He says, Moses is dead. It's Joshua's power. Second anointing is power to see and want. When you read those passages, he says, go spy out the land. Go look at it. Go see it. I've come to the understanding that a part of Joshua's power is, and his anointing that I speak over us, is that I can see it before I have it and still want it. I can go take a glimpse at it and say, that's what I want. I can still take a glimpse at it and say, this is where I want to live. I can take a glimpse at it and say, this is the kind of business I want to have. You can get to a place where you can become so discouraged as a result of your defeats that you just want to stay in your house. You don't want to look at nobody else having a good time because it just reminds you of your pain. The devil is a liar. May we have the power to let the dead bury the dead and then move on and look forward at what I'm asking God for. It is the power to go and see it and still want it and to refuse to settle. It is the power to cross over. It is the power to cross the Jordan, to cross the barrier. That is also a source of life for me to cross my Jordan. And I rebuke the enemy that would try to keep us on one side of the Jordan and not on the blessed side. My God, I want to be on the blessed side. I realize that the river of living water, it is represents the Spirit. But I've come to the understanding that it is possible to be near the Spirit and still not in Canaan. It is possible to be near the Spirit and to be drawing life-giving sustenance from the Spirit and still not be in Canaan. I was raised by people who knew how to drink from the Spirit but didn't know how to cross over the Jordan and actually walk in it in the land. I was raised by people who knew all about the river, knew all about the flow, knew all about the power of the anointing of the Spirit, but did not know how to divide the Spirit to cross into what God had promised them. Praise God for the Spirit. Praise God for the river. Praise God for the worship and the service. But I want us to cross over. I want us to be near it because it still brings life. Hey, there's rivers running all through Canaan. I want us to have the rivers. I just don't want the rivers to keep us from crossing into a promised land. I've just seen way too many people who are so in love with the Spirit that the Spirit becomes a barrier that keeps them from walking in blessing in the land. Am I talking to anybody in here this morning? It's the early service. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? I'm speaking crossover power in us. May we be near the river but still cross over it. May the river part and may we walk over on dry ground and actually take possession of it in the land. Number four, the fourth power that Joshua has is the power to praise. When you read Joshua chapter 1 and 2 and 3, when you read it, you see that he tells Joshua to get the priests up front, that when the priests' feet touch the water, something happens. That when they are going into Canaan, they are going into Canaan with the understanding that God is first. Because the mistake they made 40 years ago was to think that they were going to have to fight the battle in their own strength. The Lord said to Joshua, listen, you need to make sure that they understand that this thing is going to be a praise thing. It ain't going to be a physical thing. That it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. So much so that when y'all cross that Jordan, I want the priests up front. When y'all cross that Jordan, I want spiritual things in the front. When y'all cross that Jordan, I want you to make sure that everything spiritual is right. Here we are at the end of 2019. Let's not cross over into 2020 and stuff ain't right spiritually. You're not going to get it in your own strength. If you was going to get it in your own strength, you have it by now. You're not going to give it in your own strength. You're not going to get it in your own power. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. And the thing that has kept many of us out was that we put the priest in the back and not in the front. decided to add God as an ingredient to our success instead of letting him be the leader in everything that we do. I wish I had a witness in the building. It is what we have decided to do as a body. It is what we have decided to do in America, as we've just decided to add a little church and add a little God and add a little Jesus to our portfolio, when the fact of the matter is he needs to be the folder that the whole thing's in. We want to get the priests up front. We want to get the worship done. We want to get the tithing done first. For all of us who haven't been tithers, and as we cross the Jordan, we got to put the tithe in the front. That's a weak amen. We got to put God first. We got to give him the first fruit. We have to be like, all right, I'm going to tithe. I've done it my way. I fought my battle, and I have not been victorious. I don't know if I would step out into something that is a battle and I'm not worshiping. I don't know if I would step out into something that I'm fighting and I'm not giving. I'd want to go check and make sure that I'm giving before I start believing God for a child, or believing God for a business, or believing God for a breakthrough, or believing God for a door open. And if you struggled hard and fought long and you had your net on one side of the boat and you have caught little, maybe it's because you have not put him first. We don't want nobody to really tell us this, because we don't like nobody stepping on our toes. But the fact of the matter is that you cannot be deceived. God cannot be mocked. We will reap what you sow. And then the fifth thing, that is Joshua's anointing that I speak over me and us and all of us, is armed procession. When they cross the Jordan, when they are about to take Jericho, the Jericho battle is a march. The Jericho battle is a walk. They are armed and they are prepared, but they are walking ready to fight. The Lord says, I want you to do something crazy. I want you to put your armor on. I want you to have your sword in your hand. I want you to put the priest up front, but I don't want you to fight. I want you to march around Jericho and praise me. I want you to march around once the first day. I want you to march around once the second day. I want you to march around once on the third day. I want you to march around once on the fourth day, and on the fifth day, and on the sixth day, and on the seventh day. I want you to march around the city seven times. And on the last march, I want you to blow the trumpet, and I want you to believe that praise will knock your wall down. Oh my God, that the battle was to walk by faith. And I speak that over us in the name of Jesus. An anointing for us to march, even though we don't know how it's going to happen. For us to march, I've got my sword in my hand. I've got my shield. I've got the priests out front, and I'm marching around my Jericho, and I don't know how these walls are going to come down. But by the power of this Spirit, by the wind of the anointing of God, by the agreement of this body of believers, these walls are going to come down. That there's going to be a battle that is won by the Spirit. That as a result of the trumpets, as a result of the shout, as a result of the noise, something can take place in the earth realm. As a result of the shout, as a result of the trumpet, as a result of the noise, something can take place in the earth realm. That if all I can do is just walk and talk, that's enough for God. I speak that in the name of Jesus. I may not have enough money, but I can keep on walking. I may not have all the connections, but I can keep on walking, and I can keep confessing, and I can keep speaking, and I can keep praising. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And I don't know about you, but I am determined to march around my Jericho. I speak that power over us to keep on walking, to keep on marching, even though I may not have seen it yet, for me to understand that the walk is the battle. The fight is to move on. The fight is to process. It is in triumphant procession that he leads me. That I got to keep on walking. May not have seen it yet, but I'm going to keep on walking. May not have happened this year, but I'm going to keep on walking. About to cross into the new season, but I'm going to keep on walking. May not have happened yet, but I'm going to keep on walking. How many times is this around this Jericho? I'm going to keep on walking. I ain't even seen a brick get loose yet, but I'm going to keep on walking. I ain't seen nobody get hurt yet, but I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to put the Lord first, and I'm going to march. And when they tell me to shout, I'm going to shout. And I'm going to believe that my Jericho can come down. If you believe that, somebody say something to me. Somebody say something. Somebody say something. Somebody say something. If you're a believer and not a doubter, tell somebody, keep on walking, keep on walking, keep on walking. You may not have seen it in 2019, but keep on walking. You may not have seen it, but it's going to happen. You got to keep on walking. Canaan is ours. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands together if you heard a word from the Lord this morning. Before I dismiss, if you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home and you're saying, yep, I want to join World Overcomers. This is my church. I've been coming. I've been visiting. I've been a visiting member for a while, but I realize this is the place where God has called me to. You know, you can't just keep church hopping everywhere, getting a little from this place, a little from this place, a little from this place, a little from that. At some point, you have to say, this is where the Lord is calling me to be. This is where I'm getting fed. Help us, Holy Ghost. This is where my soul is being ministered to. This is the place that's filling my cup. This is the place that's recharging my faith. You can't make a church decision just based on the proximity of it to you. You can't make a church decision just based on convenience. Your soul is too important. There's too much at risk for you to make a decision based on something frivolous like that. You've got to be somewhere where you hear a word from the Lord. And if you are saying, Pastor Andy, World Overcomers is where the Lord has called me, and I realize that I want to be a part of the church. It's the last Sunday of the year, and I want to join before 2019 is over. If that's you, you can come down here now, and we'll give you the right hand of fellowship, and we'll pray for you, put you on the path to membership. That's me, Pastor Andy. I'm joining the church. Joining the church. Y'all can praise God for them. I'm joining church. This is my Sunday. Join the church. I'm joining church. Come on, can y'all praise God for them? I'm joining church. I'm joining the church. This is my church. Can't be a visiting member no more. Time for me to join. Join the church. Shake my right hand. Y'all remember that? You got to shake the preacher's hand. Join the church. Join the church. Come shake my hand. Everybody shake my hand, bro. You come to shake my hand. Bless you. Nice braids. Bless you. Join the church today. Join the church today. Y'all shake my hand down here, huh, sweetheart? Join the church. You're already a member. Can y'all praise God for them one more time? You all see Pastor Manny right here, Manny Arango? He is going to take you into that room right there. It's a little fellowship hall. You're going to be there for about 5 minutes, less than that. And he's just going to tell you what's going to happen next. And we've got classes for you. There's no such thing as a perfect church. And if you found a perfect church, you don't want to join it because you'll mess it up. But we want to be used of God. Amen? Amen? You want to take them now? Yeah. Why don't you guys follow Pastor Manny now? And y'all praise God for them as they go. Come on, jump on your feet. Anybody hear a word from the Lord this morning? Glad, 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 glad. Bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you. So Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Tuesday night, 10 p.m., New Year's Eve service. Married couples are going to renew their vows, and we're going to make vows before the Lord as a church, and it is going to be a powerful, powerful time. First Sunday in the new year, we're going to worship the Lord together, see what the end's going to be. Come on, reach out, grab somebody's hand, let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for our time together. Thank you. Thank you that no weapon formed against us can prosper. Thank you that you have called us to the kingdom for just such a time as this. Thank you. Thank you for your anointing that destroys the yoke. Thank you, even now, for every one of these new members that joined the church today. Thank you, Lord God, that you are still adding to our number those who are being saved and growing in the knowledge of you. Now, God, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Cover us with your blood. Lord, protect us. Watch over us. Bring us back, Lord God, on Tuesday night, God, for our New Year's Eve service. As we shout in the new year, God, be God in our situation. Use us for your glory. Have your way in us. And God, as we always pray, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For God, you're our rock, you're our redeemer. We love you. In Jesus' name, we all said together, amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug. You are dismissed. God bless you.